radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Anderson's coming. Richardson can't escape. A sack for Will Anderson. He's now got 7.5 on the year.
Texans 4! I'm going to keep saying this to begin every single cycle. After a 23-20 win over the Colts, your Texans are 6-2, 6-0 in the conference, 3-0 in the AFC South, and they have the tiebreaker over the only challenge in the AFC South, the Colts, after having officially swept them yesterday. They basically have a 3-game lead on a team that's 4-4. So there's a lot of things to be happy about. That said, there's a lot of things that have still yet to be cleaned up that we've been seeing for over half of a year. Specifically, the offensive line, the inability to protect C.J. Stroud, an offense that's very inconsistent, that can't score touchdowns, that gets stuck in the red zone, that shoots itself in the foot. And by the way, they're down another wide receiver. Nico Collins already out. Now Stephon Diggs seemingly out indefinitely. But there is something that they are doing incredibly well this year. They are really getting after the quarterback. You're finally seeing some results from Danielle Hunter. Will Anderson is one of the top sack artists in the NFL. And yesterday, against a team with a quarterback who is pretty good at avoiding sacks, they sacked him 5 times. A little bit more. This is NFL history. Over the last decade, the lowest completion percentage with 30-plus attempts. It was Josh Allen a couple of weeks ago against the Texans. It was Anthony Richardson on Sunday. 30% and 31.3%. One game, oh my God, this quarterback's a disaster. 2 games, you got to look at the defense and say the defense is playing a large part in that, even if those 2 teams are limited. And then think about this. At an NRG stadium with people who arrive very late and with people that leave early, perhaps before the near Rosencopter-esque incident when C.J. Stroud tossed it to Joe Mixon, bounces off of his chest, a Colt player recovers it, falls to his back, I guess got touched, gets up, runs, takes it back for a touchdown. Colts had a lead for 5 seconds. Call gets overturned. Even despite that, take a look at what the Texans have been doing against quarterbacks at NRG Stadium. Caleb Williams, 174 yards passing, 2 picks. Trevor Lawrence, 169 yards passing. Josh Allen, 131. Anthony Richardson, 175. This is put out by Will Kunkel from Fox 26. No quarterback has thrown for more than 175 yards in Houston this season. And while I think yards are generally a meaningless statistic, to hold somebody under 200 yards passing in today's NFL is pretty damn hard to do. They have done that in every single home game.
They've been really impressive at home and on the defensive side of the ball. Danielle Hunter, like you said, you can really feel his impact growing in a major way. But Will Anderson just looks like he is a different animal this season. I mean, he put on more muscle, was trying to get bigger this offseason. You always kind of question what his speed going to look like because that was one of his strengths. But he's been getting after guys the entire year. Poor Tim Settle, the only player that had like that missed sack. I cannot believe Anthony Richardson shook him off that way. But the defense has been so good. I do think the yardage matters. Like you said, in today's NFL, quarterbacks throw the ball. But they're not throwing for over 200 yards. They're not running the ball all the time. I mean, they're having some – Jonathan Taylor had some success. This game, he rushed for 105 yards, but it took him 20 carries to get there. So the defense is the huge win for this season. As down as we all feel about the Texans offense, we should feel very positive about the Texans defense.
Yeah, the pass rush has been really good. And I mean, think about this. Yesterday, you didn't have Azeez El-Shaair. Devin White came in. I didn't notice Devin White that much, but he wasn't a liability considering he hasn't played to this point this year, was inactive for all the games he was playing with the Eagles. So you had guys step up at linebacker and the defensive line, which is getting a slightly more spry to Nico Autry with every single game. He had a deflected pass in this game. That has Danielle Hunter, who had an incredible sack while a Colts offensive lineman was trying to pull him off of Anthony Richardson. Will Anderson is doing the same things that he's been doing too. The pass rush for this team is probably its strength. And the real question is the offense ever going to catch up to where the defense is right now? But this is a pretty good point in the year to look at the Texans defense. I feel like as the season has gone on, they've gotten better. And if you're looking for anything to compliment on this unit, you might be having a tough time doing that with the offense. The pass rush is it. It is really good, and it is universally respected across the NFL.
I think they also, the 10 for 32 for Richardson, we have to put in some context that he might be a bad quarterback, but you did have 9 pass deflections in this game. Eric Murray was all over the place.
Eric Murray was great.
He was great in this
game.
That's
the best that he's ever looked.
Yeah, Kamari Lassiter, he had 3 pass deflections. You have an interception from Jalen Petrie.
Lassiter needed to chill on that one play where he got totally toasted and then started celebrating when Anthony Richardson misfired the ball. I hate it when defenders do that. I hate it. And I don't care if Kamari Lassiter is posting cool stuff on his Instagram story afterwards, which was this picture of like 1930s Mickey Mouse reading a book that said how to kill. Like, that's cool. And he's got the locksmith chain and all that stuff. Sorry, don't do a dance after that. Anyway, continue, Joe.
Tyreek Stevenson would be proud.
Keep kicking me when I'm down.
We haven't even gotten to that segment.
I'm just trying to be positive about Eric Murray right now.
I like foreshadowing it for the whole
I can't wait. We're just like, it's on the back of your mind because you know eventually it's going to come.
I know, but I love Eric Murray. I did not think he was a good football player. Been pleasantly surprised with what he's done this season at safety for the Houston Texans. So a huge win for them to get some of these guys that are, you know, either kind of nobodies or guys you don't expect a ton from and are making an impact. DeNico Autry, the only real negative of this game. I know you heard him on one of the highlights we played today. Did nothing again.
He had a deflected pass.
Hit a deflected pass.
Yeah, I'll take it. Look, he's 34.
I know, but
he missed the first 6 games of the year and he didn't practice in training camp. Anyone who thought he was going to give you results right away, I think you're crazy. It's going to take some time.
That's right, like a little results.
Yeah, he's a rotational piece that's 34. I mean, I know he had 10 sacks last year, but he is a rotational piece. Don't measure your expectations, you know? When Mario Edwards is back, I don't know how many snaps Autry's going to get.
Aren't they paying like $10 million? Aren't they paying him like $10 million?
Yeah, you're paying him for the end of the year. I mean,
yeah I was going to say, I think this might be more of a November, December, we'll see what we get in Autry. Because of what Paul was saying, that he missed all of the offseason.
Yeah, he's at training camp on the sideline, not doing anything.
And you can't bring him along slowly because you don't have Edwards for some reason.
But they've been so impressive, this defense. I mean,
defense has been great.
Yeah, because they're just getting it from different guys every week, whether it's Hunter, Anderson, Settle. I mean, Mario Edwards when he was out there, and then the guys in the secondary, they're all contributing in a really positive way. It was nice to see Jalen Petrie get that first interception in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that when we all knew it, but when they said it was just like, oh yeah.
The one nitpick is this. It's, hey, the big plays, it's always won a game. I don't know how they lost Josh Downs the way that they did, but geez, that was bad. And Richardson did have a couple of throws that maybe were dropped by Colts receivers or maybe a little bit off thrown. Whatever the case, this was, I think, a really good performance by the defense. So if you want to brag about anything, get chesty about anything with this team being 6-2, with all of the questions they have on offense, the defense, I think, is something you actually can be proud of.
Very much agree.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think Danielle Hunter was... I mean, he made probably the biggest play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And another super big play, too. Like, so the 2 sacks you get from Hunter, we heard the Anderson sack. Like, that is what this defense was built to be. They were after Richardson so much that he had to ask out. You know what? They're the most successful pass rush in NFL history.
They made a QB sub out of a game.
No other quarterback in history has done that.
Dude, let's hear Anthony Richardson after the game. Yeah. This is the Colts quarterback. My God, dude. You can't say this.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there, what I did. And I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
Lying is hard. I'm not good at it. You got to say something else there. You got to say I felt dizzy.
I couldn't hear the play call. Like, just something to where you're like, I'm hitting the helmet.
They were trying to, on the broadcast, like, show that when he got tackled, he put his left hand down. And, or no, maybe that was a different point of the game when he hurt his wrist a little bit. I don't know. It's so hard to keep track of when he's hurt and when he's not hurt.
When but he's tired.
Just, but just lie. Just say, I dinged up a little bit. I'm good to go, though.
And even then, dude, it's a third down in a close game on the Texan side of the field.
I think it was third and goal from the 23.
Yeah.
Which is also like, hey, they're not going to ask you to like, well, with Shane Steichen, you don't know for sure. But you're probably not going to have to run the ball here. It's probably just going to be a wide receiver screen or the handoff.
Right. They weren't aggressive when Flacco came in. They did some sort of a check down. But, dude, yeah. You got to stay out there. You can't ever take a playoff. You're, as a quarterback, you're expected to lie about concussions.
Yeah,
you know,
look at Josh Allen,
Tua.
I mean, even like later in the game, like when the Mixon play happened, when he ran into Tank, and you could tell Tank was like catching his breath a little bit from probably just getting the wind knocked out of him. They're calling him out, and he's trying to wave off Bobby Slowick and trying to say, "No, I'm staying in the game. I'm fine." They finally took him off the field. Like, as a quarterback, you cannot leave the field and expect to keep the respect of your teammates. When most teammates already think quarterbacks are soft in general.
Yeah, it's a situation where I get that he exerted himself a lot, especially on that play preceding it, where he shakes off 91.
It was Tim Settle.
Settle. He shakes him off. He is running around, gets hit by a linebacker. But at the same time, I mean, it's unanimous with all the former players, either on the talk shows or on Twitter, where they're like, I've never seen a quarterback do this.
And I haven't either.
At that point, it is like, well, I get that he was exerting himself. Josh Allen exerts himself a lot on these plays. Cam Newton exerted himself for an entire career. Like
Michael Vick.
Like, all these guys. Lamar Jackson. I mean, remember the Chiefs game where every drop back for Lamar Jackson was 15 seconds long because he had to avoid every rusher and then throw it to Isaiah Likely? Like, it's not crazy that a quarterback has to have some cardio strength there.
Mahomes in the Super Bowl against the Bucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was running for his life
the whole game. Sorry, dude. I mean, you got to stay in there. And Richardson, of all the quarterbacks, we're not talking about someone who's flabby, right? Like Baker Mayfield or Jameis Winston.
Career Ben Roethlisberger.
Right, exactly. I mean, Richardson is essentially a golden god out there. The guy's got Adonis bod. Like,
his combine measurables were like the same as like athletic tight ends.
Yeah.
Like, it was like he's a freak.
So it's a bad look. I don't think it takes away from the Texans' defensive performance. If you feel otherwise, 713-780-3776 to call. To text, you can join on YouTube as well at ESPN Houston or on Twitch at ESPN 975. All right, we're gonna put Joe out of his misery. We're gonna rip the Band-Aid off in the next segment.
Okay,
oh boy,
that's a good way to put it, Paul.
I'm sorry, buddy.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not at all. Stay put.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Ex-Texan Swarm!
I can't believe Nick Caserio didn't keep him.
That's the story from
actually,
this game.
Actually, for real, a little bit, but...
That's how you distract...
Noah Brown should be a Texan,
from
not Robert Woods.
From what you had to go through.
What, is that what we're talking about? Noah Brown here? Former Texan?
I know what you want to talk about. I don't know if we're localizing this one.
This isn't In the Loop, Joe. This is the Paul is a sick person and wants to bask in your misery after your Bears lost to the Washington Commanders on a Hail Mary by Jaden Daniels,
yeah,
the number two pick in the 2024 NFL draft.
He's awesome.
Honestly, he might be the best quarterback in this draft, Sean. I don't know what Joe thinks.
He is right now, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. At least he's not concussed. That's mean. I'm sorry, Paul. That was mean to Drake. That was mean to Drake.
Listen.
I apologize, Drake, man. You've played good.
I mean, unlike the loser Bears, the Patriots won a game against a historically inept franchise with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, well, at least the Bears aren't the Jets. Losers.
I mean,
yeah. This is like the
this
opposite.
Is a Jetsy loss.
This is the opposite. There's always a bigger fish. There's always a smaller fish for someone to punch down on. Here.
You know how many times I've seen this? This is like the fourth time I've seen this happen in my life. It's the first time that it wasn't Aaron Rodgers throwing the.
I was gonna say, didn't Ryan?
Rodgers has done this like three times to the Bears. Brett Favre did this to the Bears. This is just another day. No.
And now it's a guy you could have drafted instead of your quarterback.
Nope, I like my quarterback still.
I don't know. He kind of sucked in this game until the end.
Oh, he was pretty terrible in this game.
Yeah.
He could get better.
That was his worst game by far.
He paints his nails, too. Yeah. What's up with that?
Needs to work on handoff to the backup offensive lineman.
Hey, Sean, are there any other highlights of this touchdown pass that Jaden Daniels threw to beat Joe George's Bears?
I don't even know if people know. Oh, no, wait. I found another one.
Foreman with the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly.
It sounds different.
Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now,
this one's Stevenson's
steps
actually
up,
playing.
Fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is.
You know, I actually don't know what happened there. Sean, want to play that one more time?
Yeah,
try to figure out, like, I don't know.
There's too much cackling to really understand.
They didn't tell us what happened on that play. Joe, can you tell us?
I think I heard touchdown in there. I'm not totally sure. I heard. Now, it wasn't the best call I heard this weekend because it wasn't like the fake crying or whatever was happening in Cleveland this weekend, which was bizarre. I like Bram Weinstein, too. I used to produce his radio show once upon a time.
Now, is he dead to you?
He's dead to me now, just because anyone that...
Well, I mean, it wasn't his fault. That's true. It was Tyreek Stevenson,
that
this
idiot.
Dumbass.
They should cut him.
So Tyreek Stevenson is the guy, for those who remember, that in Sunday Night Football for that Texans-Bears game, poked Nico Collins in the face. Nico Collins, all 6'4", 220, 30 pounds of him. Collins shoves him back very forcefully with one arm. Essentially bitch slapped him. He gets flagged for it. But Stevenson also was doing something in this game with Terry McLaurin,
mm-hmm.
another one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, to the point where McLaurin was caught on camera mouthing, "You ain't bleep." Stevenson's a rookie?
No, it's like second or third year.
Oh, he doesn't even have an excuse.
He has no excuse.
Oh.
He should not be on the team.
Well, for those
should cut him.
For those who don't know, Tyreek Stevenson, who did those two things before this happened in the Hail Mary, was chirping with Commanders fans. There's a replay that shows a bunch of Bears fans sitting by the end zone who are trying to tell Tyreek Stevenson that the Hail Mary play has begun. And while Stevenson does do what is necessary, it actually didn't hurt them at all.
Wrong.
To that point.
He was a step or two late.
But he gets in there. He did get his hand on the ball.
It's
the problem
get worse.
Is
he could have got two hands on it.
The problem is he was supposed to mark Noah Brown, who sneaks behind that entire crowd of Bears and Commanders. Mm. Ball gets tipped by Stevenson, and he catches the ball. And that's the game.
Yeah. He was supposed to box out Noah Brown on that play, Matt Eberflus said today. So he was so the entire play is his fault. If his dumbass just stays in the corner and just keeps chirping the fans, the Bears probably would have won. If he doesn't get involved,
that is funny. That
if he just keeps being an idiot,
if he was never involved in the play, it's probably.
And I swear to God, it looks like he's trying to intercept the ball. I swear, it looks like he's trying to Odell that thing.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it wasn't the what they teach you knock it down. It was like a it was there was something else going on. Paul, do you think you know, this is radio. We have a lot of people getting in and out of their cars. Do you think we should reset what play we're talking about?
Do you have a better version of it?
Yeah, I do have another version, actually.
Okay. Well, there was a Hail Mary in the late afternoon game between the Washington Commanders and Chicago Bears, and the Commanders ultimately successfully completed this Hail Mary, and they took down the Chicago Bears. And, yeah, I mean, look, we're a show here in Houston, Texas. So it's just something that I think we all need to hear because it was a really cool play.
It was a primetime game.
And it didn't affect anybody emotionally in this room at all.
Ahora sí, Daniels, a lanzar a lo profundo del terreno de juego. Ahí está la recepción. Touchdown! Touchdown de Washington! Touchdown! Está adentro!
Did say it.
El Ave María funcionó. Apareció el 85. Tras un rebote, Noah Brown se convierte en el héroe de todo Washington DC. Enorme, grande Commander.
Oh, that's great.
A plus.
Hello, María.
I got two of those words.
I was gonna say, Joe, do you speak Spanish?
But A plus call.
Probably good thing if you don't.
Sounded great. So I'm watching this on a not so legal stream because YouTube TV is expensive and they don't want to carry the Space City Home Network, so I cannot give them my money on a regular basis. So I'm watching this on an illegal stream. Okay.
Wow.
I get a DM.
You're gonna get arrested for this.
First from King of Twitch. He says, "Good win." Okay.
I was going to say, him being first, wow.
Was this before the Hail Marys? Yes.
This is before triple zeros.
So I get a DM from King of Twitch saying, good win. Like, all right, I'm getting ready for my other job thing that I'm doing.
Honestly,
now.
Get my
graphics made. Bears win. !! No. Get it all loaded. Had to redo them because I didn't think that was going to happen. And then I get a tweet from Junior Bronco that just says, bruh. And I was just like, what is about to happen? And then I saw it. And I wanted to just be sad. I was sad. Bears football.
Honestly, it wouldn't have been that impressive of a win anyway. So, you know, you were going to have some things
to pick. A win! They would have been 5-2.
Winning is the most important thing.
Yes.
I don't know if any Bears said that after the game.
Yes.
They'd still
be in the playoffs right now if they won that game.
Where does this rank among Hartridge and Bears losses? Okay.
Number three.
Double doink.
Khalil Mack's first game on Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers
in which they hurt
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And he had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. And Aaron Rodgers broke ass, comes back on the field.
Broke ass.
And I think he threw a Hail Mary.
Physically broken. Huh?
I think.
Yeah. His broken ass.
Yeah, broken, yes. Double doink and then this.
Mm. Okay. That's the one where after the game, Aaron Rodgers goes, my knee, in a weird southern accent, right?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, because he was on like a million painkillers.
Yeah, he was on a lot of painkillers after that one. So it's top three for sure.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about the Texans.
Any other calls? German? Japanese?
I kind of want to hear the Bears radio call if we can follow
it. Oh, good. I'll be on that, and when we're going around the NFL.
I kind of want to hear the set.
All right. Up next, it's the 10-minute drill. We're going to continue to torture Joe. And by the way, your Texans are 6-2. 3-0 in the AFC South. 6-0 in conference. Just swept the Colts, if you want to talk about them, because I know there's a big butt in the room. Stick around.
The Texans' three-week stretch of covering games is over. They didn't cover this week, but you can go and watch the Texans or your favorite Texas team at ESPN Bet inside in La Berge, Lake Charles. Sean, myself, Brian, Cam Smith will be out there on November 16th and 17th doing shows on Saturday from 12 to 2 and then Sunday from 10 to 12, getting you ready for all the NFL action. You got the 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, always a good time. You can use the ESPN Bet app. As soon as you cross in Louisiana, just find a way to connect to one of them towers. And as soon as you're officially out of Texas, you can do that as well. Plus, you also, during the week, you can play the free Cover 5 game. All you do, download the Cover 5 app in your app store. You will join a league for the week. They have college football competitions and NFL. It's totally free to play. You pick 5 games against the spread. I had my best week yet. I finished sixth out of 350 people in the college football playoff competition this week. And you get free rewards for your Penn membership when you do that. So sign up for your Penn membership, totally free. Play the Cover 5 app. And when you leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LaBerge Lake Charles.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
To the left, McLaren. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
Tipped
and it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish. The breakup pass into the waiting arms of Noah Brown. Nobody back there. Crushing loss. 18-15 Washington. Hail Mary. 2 seconds left.
And it's caught.
And it's caught.
I understood what happened with that call more than I understood on the on Espanol call and more than I understood on the Commander's call.
Yeah, Commander's definitely is the most confusing of the four.
Because a lot of loud noises.
I could pick up touchdown, Noah Brown, Commander's win.
I didn't pick up anything on the Commander's one.
No, I just picked
The Spanish call. I could pick up Noah Brown, touchdown. I got it. Yeah. The Commander's, it was just screaming and way more laughing than I thought would be in it.
How many more years do you think it'll be before the Bears get another Jim Nantz, Tony Romo on the call game? You know, making it to the big leagues.
Who has the Super Bowl this year?
Not the Bears.
Probably also not CBS. I think they did last year's Super Bowl.
They'll probably
do it. So you got a few years.
Probably December 8th when they play the 49ers at 325. So
On CBS?
Oh, wait. Never mind. That's Fox. Just kidding. Oh, they'll get Tom Brady that way. Awesome.
Good. Maybe you can learn a thing or two from a winner.
They should just keep reading Chicago Bears quarterback stats and to Tom Brady until he throws them. Just until he just, like, vomits in the booth of just, like, I can't believe this is a franchise.
It is incredible.
Same.
Hey, remember when the Bears could have had Tom Brady, apparently?
Yeah, like...
That was a story.
Too cold.
I mean, they could have drafted him.
That's true.
So could have 30 other teams.
That's true.
Oh, he was a first-round pick on Bill Polian's board.
Yeah,
right?
Texans could have drafted Tom Brady.
They could have.
Right? No,
actually, no, they didn't exist yet.
They didn't exist.
They're the only one.
You're right. You're right.
They're
that's
one
all.
Team where
that's
it's
right.
Okay. Not
that's,
their
it's
fault.
It's right before the Texans. They get a pass.
The Cleveland Browns pulled off the upset of Sunday with a 29-24 win over the Baltimore Ravens, dropping Baltimore to 5-3. Jameis Winston starting for Deshaun Watson. Here's his stat line. 27 of 41, 334 yards, 3 touchdowns. Probably should have been picked off by Kyle Hamilton, and the Ravens shot themselves in the foot a lot. But Jameis Winston, he got his one shot, his opportunity, and he delivered.
Not often that you get another opportunity like you have just received in the NFL. What does it mean to lead these guys, and what could be the start of what you said is something special moving forward?
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road, but man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Unbelievable performance today. Congratulations, Jameis.
I love Jameis Winston. I'm so glad he's a starting quarterback in the NFL again.
I like him when he's playing football and not talking about the morality of whether or not you should boo Deshaun Watson or cheer for him after he gets hurt. But I do like seeing him on the field. It is crazy that it took the Browns this long to turn to him. I guess the reason that he got demoted to third string and inactive was because he went rogue in a short yardage package. And Kevin Stefanski, I guess, had talked to him about that. So that was a punishment for something he actually had done. This was not a demotion due to paranoia over Deshaun. It seems like he actually did something. So
that makes sense considering what he did last year.
I went down the rabbit hole yesterday because I thought to myself, man, this should be a way bigger story that they just randomly demoted him for no reason. It seems like there actually was a legitimate reason for Kevin Stefanski to demote him. So the Browns get a dub, and they have a pulse with Jameis Winston.
That was a fun, I mean, the whole, like, 12 o'clock hour, I know you were at the game, just, like, watching.
I wish I'd been able to get the witching hour action.
It was incredible yesterday.
I mean, I know that the only lively moment in Texans-Colts was when the fumble was returned nearly for a touchdown by Indianapolis in a almost Rosencopter-esque manner.
Thankfully, it wasn't. Down by contact.
And
by
you, I think Red Zone even showed a highlight of all the things that were happening at once. And there I was at NRG Stadium, kind of falling asleep in the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals game ends on a game-winning field goal. The Packers game, the Patriots game, Falcons-Buccaneers was wild at the end. Browns-Ravens, Texans. Like every game besides the Lions game was strange and all happening at the same time. Elite witching hour yesterday. Very, very good.
We'll see where this goes, but yeah, they're a more fun team with Jameis Winston, who, yes, has his own issues.
And likable.
Hmm?
They're a likable football team also.
The Browns?
Just, no.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not.
They're more likable now.
No, I mean, Winston does some pretty crappy stuff. So.
Yeah, I know, but I just despise watching.
Winston is funny. Winston is comical to me. I don't know that I love Jameis as much as I find him comical.
His shenanigans are fun.
Yeah.
Other people's shenanigans.
They're not our problem.
Yeah, like, and it's fun watching him play football because you just don't know he's going to do something incredible or something totally disastrous. Like the interception he had in the beginning of the game, it was right to a Ravens player.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
As one does.
He had another throw that was straight to another Ravens player where I didn't even know where the Brown was that he was throwing to. It was just a rocket straight to a Raven.
Ravens choked this one away too. Look, first off, Ravens defense, some serious questions about them. I know that they did pull away from the Buccaneers on Monday eventually, but they've got some serious questions on that side of the ball. And Kyle Hamilton should have had that interception. Lamar Jackson had a throw. He hit Rashad Bateman right in the face, wide open on a post route. He had beat his defender by about 2-3 yards. There was another one where Lamar Jackson just overthrew a guy in the end zone who was wide open. This is a bad game for the Ravens. And guess what? Clunkers do happen, and it's nice that the Texans keep winning their clunkers if you want to localize that.
Yeah, and if we're talking about the Ravens every day and watching the Ravens every game, I feel like we'd also be pretty upset with how their season has gone with losses to the Raiders and the Browns. Like they have two losses to two teams that both have two wins. So they are a team that also, I'm sure, is infuriating their fan base, and that's really just life in the NFL.
The Chiefs. Life goes on in the NFL. You're 7-0, another unimpressive win, this time over the Las Vegas Raiders, 27-20, but they are 7-0. Mahomes' stat line, I guess, slightly more impressive, 27 of 38 for 262 yards, two touchdowns and an interception, but you have yet to see Mahomes be Mahomes this year. Really, their offense yesterday was all Travis Kelce, 10 catches for 90 yards.
Yeah, if they start using him like that, though, it's just going to open up, and then
he'll be gassed by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is it's funny talking about, but this is a little early to hit the Travis Kelce bail us out button. But this was also a game, because remember the offseason story with the Ravens players with the Kermit the Frog thing with Mahomes? And
a Chiefs player brought it up after the game with some sort of social media post, just vibing in Vegas with a frog or something.
Yeah,
like
and I think Mahomes said something about like, yeah, when the time comes to handle it, we'll handle that or something like that. So again, don't give the Chiefs bulletin board material. They're probably going to beat you anyway. Just don't give them bulletin board material.
They called it KC West. That was what they called the Death Star Stadium, Allegiant, that the Raiders play in.
Every fan base takes over that stadium.
I just saw Andy Reid now has tied for Josh McDaniels with most wins
off of
at that stadium.
Oh. what am I saying?
He probably has as many wins off a bye as Josh McDaniels has coaching wins.
Total wins, you're probably right. Well,
and then the Patriots today, Patriots traded Josh Uche today to the Chiefs. So the Chiefs getting better.
Yeah, Uche is a good player. That's I know they beat the Jets today or yesterday, so at least I got that. But God, they
got it. Got to fix that. Got to get the first pick.
That's who the Texans play on Thursday. The Jets, with all that hype, same record as New England Patriots in a Super Bowl caliber year, and that is my Super Bowl yesterday. That is my Super Bowl, the Patriots with Jacoby Brissett beating the New York Jets. I'm raising a banner for it. That is my Super Bowl.
Lighting the lighthouse.
Light that lighthouse, baby.
I'm going to take off work on November 11th if the Patriots beat the Bears, just so you know.
Oh, they're playing them?
In 2 weeks.
See, here's the thing. I will not watch that game.
I know, yeah, but Paul's so checked out.
I'm so out.
Of the Patriots schedule, I have no doubt in my mind he actually doesn't know that they play the Bears.
I did not know that until just now.
But if they lose, if the Bears lose, I won't be here. Okay. I'll be hiding.
Won't even rub it in. I'll just ask what happened.
I won't rub it in.
I'll just ask. Hail Mary.
I'm just going to ask what happened.
Yes.
And you can tell me.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask again because
for clarification.
The Eagles dropped the Bengals to 3-5 with a 37-17 win. For all the Nick Sirianni shenanigans, they are 5-2.
They're cooking on offense all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way they use Saquon, what a great signing.
Yeah, it's been good.
Are running backs having a moment?
Yes.
Mixon,
veteran running backs.
Barkley.
Henry. Like those three guys.
Tony Pollard's been all right. I mean, it's on the Titans, so who cares? But Tony Pollard's been all right.
Speaking of the Titans, Lions 50 burger them. Texans play the Lions in less than 2 weeks, and Detroit won 52-14. Yeah, Jared Goff in weeks past has looked like the MVP, but he only had 82 yards passing in a game that they scored 50 points in. I don't know how that works.
I don't know either.
That's like a college football thing where they just run the ball so well that they never throw it.
Yeah, it's like A&M this weekend.
A&M.
I think that I heard this coming in. The Lions in the last 4 weeks have outscored the entire NFL. And just in the last 4 weeks.
Wait, the entire
NFL? Like every single team in the league, I think they have more points in the last 4 weeks than any team in the NFL has. I could be wrong.
No, they have to.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought you meant they've outscored the entire NFL combined. Teams.
No. But also this. Apparently, the Lions have more touchdowns than incompletions over this stretch. We're talking 24 touchdowns and 18 incompletions or something like that over this stretch. They're on fire, and you know what? I'm very glad that the Texans have a half bye week before that Sunday night football game at NRG Stadium because, whoa, if the defense is going to win you a game, that is the toughest test that they will face all year.
Now, that's like a Georgia football stat.
Yes.
Whereas they have more touchdowns than incompletions.
But normally it's because they don't throw the ball that much. And like I know this game they did.
That is part of it.
Jared Goff, like the Lions have scored 42, 47, 31, and 52 points in their last four games.
Yeah.
Those are legit video game numbers.
And Titans fire them into the sun. Everything that they do is an abomination. And when are they going to wear the Oilers uniforms and make those look terrible by association?
Mason Rudolph's the quarterback.
Oh, God. And speaking of terrible AFC South teams, the Jaguars lost to Malik Willis and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. Jacksonville. And they lost their two best wide receivers today. Christian Kirk, he's hurt. I think he's out for the season with a broken collarbone.
And they lose the rookie, too?
And then he's out. Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks, they think, with like a rib injury. So,
oh, no, you hate to see it.
They're going to be struggling.
The Texans play the Jags in the next 2 to 4 weeks?
I don't think so.
I think it's a little bit of time before they play. The next couple of weeks for the Texans.
5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Next three Texans games are all primetime.
So they're definitely not playing the Jags.
Right. Definitely not. No. It's Jets Thursday. It's Sunday night against the Lions.
Oh, and then Monday.
Monday against the Cowboys.
That's right.
So there you go. Ooh. That's the 10-minute drill. Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to weigh in on the Texans, who are 6-2, but still have some questions to be answered, you can. Up next, I suppose we got to check in on the Savannah Bananas Invitational. Because there's something happening that is bringing me joy, even though I do want both of these teams to lose horribly. I'll tell you what it is next. Stay put.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
You want to weigh in on the 6-2 Houston Texans, who just swept the Colts for the third time ever, and on top of that are 3-0 in the AFC South and 6-0 in the AFC. You can. Certainly some questions coming out of this game about the offense, about the offensive line, but the defense did its job, 5 sacks, and while it did allow a couple of explosive plays, that is the strength of this team. It's just a matter of the offense catching up at some point the rest of the way. That said, I do understand all the buts out there, because there is a big but in the room. It's a but that we don't really like that much. It's there. Some people like it, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. It's a 2024 but.
I think I lean towards liking it.
You lean towards liking it.
But I'm still unsure.
There are some BBLs that look okay. Yeah. But for the most part, I'm always like, why? Yeah. Why? Even though I am a butt man, there is such a thing as too much.
Yeah.
Eventually.
How much is too much? How far is too far? Should we get pictures?
Yeah. Just get a bunch of asses.
Like
I can load them now the way we do the stream. I can load photos and just start putting them up on the YouTube and Twitch.
Oh, like a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
And then just
Paul just going, no,
or,
one more.
Or if I do an awooga.
Yeah.
Like with the Wolf and Looney Tunes.
We might have to do that. I think we're going to do that on Thursday.
It's actually kind of like the eye doctor. He's like, now have number one.
Number two.
Number two.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number two.
I'll have to describe them.
I refuse to call the Fall Classic the Fall Classic. It is the Savannah Bananas Invitational. There's an asterisk on this series because the Astros did not have to play either the New York Yankees or Los Angeles Dodgers. But game three is tonight. The Dodgers lead this series 2-0. For those who didn't see it, on Friday, the Dodgers won with a walk-off grand slam by Freddie Freeman, who had a sprained right ankle, naturally, because baseball tries to talk about history as much as it can. Well, it was just like Kirk Gibson. Now Kirk Gibson pinch hit. But a Dodgers fan reached over the wall and did fan interference on a two-out Gleyber Torres hit that looked like a home run at one point. So Yankees fans thought they had something. Then it was taken away from them by a Dodger fan. Love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, especially considering the New York Yankees benefited from something like that happening in, I think, 1996 against the Baltimore Orioles. And then game two, Saturday, the Dodgers won 4-2. Freddie Freeman had another homer. Shohei Ohtani got hurt. We'll see if he plays in tonight's game. Teams up 2-0 have won the World Series 45 of 56 times. I want to talk about this story, though. And no, not about the rumor that came up from an account that is a troll account. You can look up on Twitter to find said story if you want to, at the very least, laugh. But I don't think it's true. What is true is Aaron Judge is a god-awful postseason player. He is 1-for-9 in the World Series. He is hitting 150 this postseason with 6 runs batted in and 19 strikeouts and 40 postseason at-bats. I love seeing him continue to suck. Does that make me a bad person? Maybe, but
no.
I love watching Aaron Judge be one of the worst postseason players, considering how good he is in the regular season, that we've ever seen.
No, it does not make you a bad person.
Clayton Kershaw wishes he was Aaron Judge. So, like, there's one person that is worse than Judge, I guess, in this settings generally. But Judge, oh boy.
I mean, Kershaw will get a couple outs before. He'll have a little bit of success.
It's usually at the end of Kershaw's outings where he pukes himself. Yeah. Right, Judge just sucks the whole way through.
Yeah.
Are we not going to get that matchup this?
I don't think so.
This World Series, is Kershaw even on like the active roster?
I have no idea.
He might have gotten Verlandered. Honestly,
I think he might be hurt still. I don't know how much he pitched this year.
That too.
I will say I surprisingly have found myself watching more of this than I thought I would, because I've just been seeing the tweets and box scores and been like throwing it on in the 8th inning. So that might be my new strategy. It's like, I'm not going to watch innings 1-6. If the score is good and competitive, I'll throw it on for the final 2 innings.
Gotcha. Okay.
I saw that it was bases loaded in the 9th of Saturday night. And I did the same thing where I just pulled it up on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Blake Treinen got 2 outs. and then the eighth hitter was up, and then they went to the bullpen to get, like, the platoon matchup, and I was, like, so enraged. I was like, really, we're doing this with the eighth inning guy? Like, this is why baseball sucks now, is that you bring in your closer, and then, well, the backup catcher for the Yankees hits slightly worse against lefties, so let's bring in the lefty to close this one out. And so there's a five-minute commercial break before the last out of the World Series. I'm like, annoying. See ya, back to LSU, A&M.
Yeah, but I think that's what I did too, I know that's what I did on Friday. I went to my phone to see the Freddie Freeman walk-off. I went to the TV on Saturday for a second, but that's going to be my strategy now. It's just... So since the games have ended kind of wild, I will say I also found myself being very excited for Freddie Freeman. So I think I'm pro Dodgers officially.
Why? Was he a Cub or something?
No, I've always liked Freddie Freeman. He's always been a good baseball player.
Okay. I've never heard of him. I'm just kidding. I have. But F him. He's a Dodger. So you're a bad person for rooting for him.
I'm rooting for the Savannah Bananas, who plays the winner of this.
Yeah, Savannah. Mm-hmm. These teams are playing for the right to play the Savannah Bananas.
True.
You know,
hopefully Josh Reddick's there.
By the way, Kershaw says he intends to pitch next year. I guess he told.
Hey, focus on this series, buddy.
He told the Fox pregame show for game two of the NLCS that he plans to pitch next year. The Dodgers are already talking about signing Juan Soto. I kind of like that the Yankee fans are really experienced. Thing misery, like they thought they had a Gleyber Torres home run. It gets taken away from them with the fan interference. For a moment, they're so excited, and then on top of that, Juan Soto, who has been really good for them, is already a Dodger. And we're not even past halfway through this series.
I really watching the Yankees fans squirm over just what has become of their franchise. Seeing the Mets or the Dodgers outbid them for Juan Soto would be fair. I would prefer it to be the Mets if I had a pick of the three.
Yeah, the Mets are harmless.
Yeah.
Like the Dodgers, I do not want the Dodgers to finally figure it all out in a year where there's not a pandemic and put together a, I don't know, Astros caliber run. Because right now they really do seem poised for that, if we're being honest.
Especially when like their pitching's been pretty terrible for the most part.
Yeah, they've really kind of like... duct tape their pitching rotation through this postseason. Like, this is not the best Dodgers team of this run. And, I mean, you can say the same for the Yankees. Like, this Yankees team isn't as good as past Yankees teams that lost to the Astros. Like, that's why this is such a weird year, because it's two mega brands, but it's also not them at their fullest strength that we've seen in recent years where they're winning, like, 105 games. It's just a very weird year, and I kind of would respect it. At a certain point, if the Dodgers were just like, yeah, we'll just take Juan Soto from you. Sorry.
And we're going to beat you in the World Series.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to take your best player.
Yeah. That's where it becomes so much of a, like, we just take everyone's best player. We're just signed the best free agent every offseason. That's where it's like, I kind of like this now.
Baseball's needed a Yankees for a while. The Yankees can't be them anymore. The Yankees are still talking about 2017.
The ratings, highest the ratings have been since 2017.
They're high. These ratings are high.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, damn. But, I was rooting for the ratings to suck, too. I'm really just being the biggest hater here. Key from L.A. is right for a change. I am being a hater, 100%. Mr. Mills says, hey, Freddie Freeman's been through a lot. Joe likes Freddie Freeman. No, I just want all the bad things to happen in this series, okay?
Yeah, there's some health issues with his kids.
Gotcha, Freeman, okay. So.
And, you know, his ankles hurt.
I haven't heard enough about Dodgers fans assaulting Yankees fans and vice versa.
Well, they're all the same, so they don't like know what to do.
They can't identify the bodies.
Yeah, I mean, like half of them are probably wearing Yankees hats, and then underneath there's a Dodgers hat to change into.
And then the Cowboys quarters up.
No, they're probably not wearing those right now because of how bad it's been for the Dak and the Cowboys.
He's Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5. And 92-5. The Houston Texans are 6-2 after a 23-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts. We're happy, right? Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.